Thank you for listening to the Faith Radio Mornings podcast. Enjoy the conversation.
Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings.
Let it rise.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. We have a great God and good coffee. So what else do we need to get the day started? Bill Arnold here, once again demanding of myself the highest standards of excellence. Well, according to my understanding of statistics, there are listeners today that are having a birthday or an anniversary. So I just want to start off by saying happy birthday or happy anniversary if you're listening. And if I got lucky, email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. Let me know that I nailed it. That was just my understanding of stats. All right, Golden State is doing one again last night. They now have a 3-0 lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Stephen Curry could sign a $207 million contract this summer. And from what I can tell, worth every penny. All right, let's get started with a couple of verses that I love. Out of Ecclesiastes, keep on sowing your seed, for you will never know which ones will grow. Perhaps they all will. How about that as an exciting thought for the day as you get your day started, whatever you're going about doing. And here is something from the book of Habakkuk, or is it Habakkuk? I always kind of freeze on that one. Rebecca just gave me the big shoulder shrug. She doesn't know either. God says, at the time I have decided, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. Love that. And here's a little prayer. This is out of 1 Kings 8. This is from The Message. May God keep us centered and devoted to Him, following the life path He has cleared, watching the signposts, and walking at the pace and rhythms He laid down for our ancestors. What a good way to start the day. All right, we've got an incredible show today. We're going to talk to Kate Anderson from the Alliance Defense Fund. She is representing this couple in East Lansing, Michigan, these organic farmers who decided that they are standing up for their Christian values, and they are being run out of business. They're not even allowed, apparently, to sell their vegetables at the farmer's market in East Lansing. They're being run out of town. And Kim Cotola is going to be with us, and Nap Nasworth is coming up in the second hour, as well as our friends from True Care. And that's going to be a great, great morning. So keep your station right where it is. We've got a great show coming up. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back. Bill Arnold here. I have on the studio line Kate Anderson. She serves as legal counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, and she's a key member of the Center for Conscience Initiatives. And prior to joining the Alliance Defense Freedom in 2015, she focused on protecting the conscience rights of individuals being unjustly compelled to forfeit their beliefs. And boy, do we have a whopping case on our hands about the Country Mill Farms versus the city of East Lansing. And she's here to talk to us today about that that case. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being on the show. And I know you're out, and I think, in the Phoenix area, so it's extra early for you. But I don't think you don't have a problem with caffeine. You probably have a problem without it.
That's probably true.
Yeah. Anyway, this case is huge, and explain to our listeners a little bit what's going on.
Right. So we represent Steve Tennis. He's an organic apple grower in outside of East Lansing. He's been going to the East Lansing Farmers Market for 7 years, been a model vendor there. East Lansing, who runs the market, found out that he found out about his religious beliefs on marriage via a post that he posted on Facebook. As soon as they did, they began a path of action to exclude him from the market, first pressuring him to leave the market, and then actually creating a new policy for the 2017 market that was targeted directly at him, and they used it to exclude him.
So, Kay, what would be the policy that they have come up with? This is interesting.
Well, Steve is located 22 miles outside of East Lansing, so they couldn't use any of their ordinances to try to exclude him from the market and the existing city law. Not that he is violating any of those laws anyway, but they created a new policy that said that he couldn't, that in all of his general business practices, he couldn't do anything that would conflict with their public policy that's part of their civil rights ordinance. Basically, they don't like that he believes that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that he said that that's his belief when he's been asked directly, and so they've used that to throw him out of the market, which is very, very concerning and should be for everyone. It sets up a policy where the government can throw anybody out of the marketplace for any belief.
So you can have a deeply held religious belief, and you run the risk of losing your livelihood.
That's the case in East Lansing right now.
And all he wants to do is really sell food to anyone who wants to buy it. And the city says, not doing it.
Absolutely. And I think that's the irony in this case. The city is discriminating against him, and he just wants to go there and sell his fruit to everyone as he always has. And the city's trying to stop him.
Mm-hmm. So when he's married with, I think, 4 kids, is that right?
He has 5.
Yeah. So can you just give me a little background on his family?
Yeah, his faith is what's gotten him in trouble now, but it's his faith that's informed every aspect of his life. He's been in the military. He and his wife are both veterans, met during their ROTC service. They live in Charlotte outside of East Lansing, and they've taken over his family farm, which is the family farm that he grew up on, and they've built that and expanded it. They do many, many things for their community, including a program that they started called Pick a Peck for People, where they invite the community to come onto their farm and pick as many apples as they can, and then they donate all of those to the local food bank in order to provide fresh fruit to those that can't afford it year-round. And it's those kinds of things, his desire to serve in the military, his desire to serve his community, that are all informed by his faith. So it's odd that now his faith is getting him in trouble with East Lansing.
Mm-hmm. And I did see his webpage, and he's absolutely, beautiful pictures of his family and his five kids. And
yes,
you just look at it and you go, oh, this is just the cutest family in the world.
That's what I think.
Yeah. And they're farming, and they're great contributors to the community. And all of a sudden they make a Facebook statement. And they've been run out of business. And this is unconstitutional and unlawful, isn't it?
Absolutely. It violates their First Amendment rights, obviously, to their right to believe. Everyone has the right to make personal choices about what they believe and how they live that out. And it violates their rights to free speech, because they're literally in trouble for something that they said about their religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Now, they entered into the realm of making a statement about marriage. Did they sense that that was going to be this problematic? Obviously, they're not looking for trouble. They're just expressing their beliefs. Should they be getting this kind of repercussion?
No, and they didn't see this coming, and they didn't ask for it. They posted what they did because a customer asked them about their religious beliefs on Facebook, and they responded honestly. And it sort of begs the question, what's the plan here, East Lansing? Are you going to troll everybody's Facebook pages and throw people out because you don't like what they say? Are you going to remove everyone from community life and from the marketplace if they believe in marriage between a man and a woman, a belief that's been held by millions of people and still is?
So, Kate, talk about how you are assisting the family, and where is the case right now, and where is it headed?
Well, ADF represents the family and the farm, Country Mill. We've just filed the case last Wednesday, so it's in the very early stages. We haven't heard back from East Lansing yet. We will be filing a motion asking the court to vindicate their First Amendment rights right away, and that will be filed shortly.
Mm-hmm. And do you anticipate what coming out of this?
Well, we're hopeful that it's a quick change in position from East Lansing, that they see just how wrong they are to throw somebody out because they don't like what they believe. And so we hope that either East Lansing comes to that realization quickly, or the courts quickly vindicate their rights.
Mm-hmm. And East Lansing is they are also in the suit as well. And what kind of representation do they have, and how passionate is their side about fighting this?
Well, the lawsuit is against East Lansing because they were the ones who acted to remove our client from the market and to violate his rights. But because it's so early procedurally, their counsel hasn't appeared and hasn't taken any position yet in the case, and it's just because it's so early.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing more and more of this, and especially when it comes to anyone who publicly makes a statement of any kind. You know, as we go back and look at some of these people like the bakers that don't want to bake a cake, or a photographer that doesn't want to photograph a wedding for religious reasons, they're just getting pummeled, aren't they?
We are seeing quite a bit of it around the country, and I think this one goes even a step further because of the radical overreach that East Lansing has done to reach out and punish Steve Tennis for beliefs on his farm that's not even in the city. I mean, this is a pretty concerning policy where the city really is giving itself the power to throw anybody out of community life, anybody out of the marketplace, just because they don't like what they say or what they think.
Mm-hmm. You know, Kate, I remember it seems like when I was younger or around my parents, watching them conduct their lives, if you went to some place and you didn't really like what was going on, you kind of said, well, I'll take my business elsewhere. And people don't do that anymore. Now we're going to run you out of your business and see to it that you cannot even do your own livelihood if you don't cooperate with what we believe.
Right. Certainly people have the freedom to decide where they want to do their business and where they want to spend their money, but the government doesn't have a right to violate people's rights and to treat some people worse just because they don't like what they're thinking or what they believe.
Mm-hmm. I am talking to Kate Anderson. She's legal counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom, and she is at center stage for this suit that's happening, the Country Mills Farm versus the City of East Lansing. We'll take a short break and be right back.
The mission here at our family farm at the Country Mill is to glorify God by facilitating family fun on the farm and feeding families. And one of the main reasons we wanted to move back here to a family farm was to give our kids the opportunity for a hometown community where they could be raised in an environment that allowed us to teach them our values and what's important to us.
Every week during the harvest season for the past 7 years, Country Mill has taken part in the farmers market in the nearby city of East Lansing, Michigan. Selling organic fruit at the market was a growing part of their business. One of the ways Steve and Bridget reach out to the communities they serve is through their Facebook page. Here they share their events and thoughts about life on the farm.
Last year, a question came up on Country Mill's Facebook page asking Country Mill about a religious belief that they held.
In response, Steve expressed his belief in biblical marriage.
The city of East Lansing saw that post, and they contacted Steve right away. And they told Country Mill that they were concerned about that belief. They questioned him about it, and they asked that Country Mill decide voluntarily to stop coming to the East Lansing Farmers Market.
We were surprised because for over 7 years, we've been serving all the customers with no complaints, no issues, no protest.
Then in January, East Lansing did not invite Country Mill to come back to the East Lansing Farmers Market. So Country Mill went ahead and filed an application with the market. And they immediately got a letter back saying that they were prohibited from coming to the market for this year.
All of a sudden, I felt like we couldn't even believe what we wanted to believe. We had to be quiet.
East Lansing sent back a second letter telling Steve that he could not come to the market because of his Facebook post and attaching a copy of that Facebook post. They said that it violated their beliefs.
Never before would I ever have thought that the faith that we have here in our family, in our home, at our farm, would prohibit us from being allowed to participate in the community.
Alliance Defending Freedom is representing Country Mill Farm to protect their First Amendment freedoms and ensure that the government can't single out people of faith for discrimination simply because of what they say or think.
Welcome back. I am having a very lively conversation with Kate Anderson. She is counsel for County Mill Farms, and they're having a go with the City of East Lansing over the fact that Steve and his family have got this farm, and they've made a statement that they're Christians and they believe marriage is between a man and a woman, and now the City of East Lansing is running them out of town. So to those who disagree on marriage, why should they still support religious freedom or freedom of conscience?
Freedom of conscience protects everyone, because when the government has the power to do what they're doing to Steve, to be able to throw somebody out of the marketplace, deny them access to community life just because the government doesn't like what they think, the government can do that to anyone, and we can see that the political winds change and new people are in power and new beliefs are become the norm, and nobody wants a situation where they can no longer make personal decisions about their beliefs and how they live them out.
Mm-hmm. Kate, I'm just curious. I mean, you said that Steve has had this great reputation at the farmer's market. So obviously he's got a lot of other vendors there that probably have grown to love him and care about him. Has he had any conversations with people? What kind of support is he getting from other farmers?
He's getting quite a bit of support from other farmers. Other farmers see that this is an important principle. They don't want the government telling them how they can run their farms on their own property, particularly outside the city. So it's really an issue that concerns a larger audience, and I think that other farmers see that too.
Mm-hmm. And because I would think that there, you know, this his reputation is such that, you know, he's such a good guy and a good farmer, and he's bringing such a good product to the market, and he probably has a lot of support among other farmers. And so I'm just curious as to, you know, what you think his support will be. There's probably other people that probably believe the way Steve believes but doesn't want the heat.
There always are. It's a hard place to step out on an issue like this, but it's so important because the government really can't do what it's doing. And if it's I sort of said it, but if it's doing it to Steve, it can do it to any one of the farmers. So we're very hopeful that people will be supportive. We've seen a great deal of support for him and his community and around the country.
Okay. So if I'm a small business owner, Kate, and I want to live for Christ, I want to honor his name and how I do my job and how I share my life and how I talk about my business, what kind of advice do you have for people like that?
You need to live your life authentically, and the Constitution protects you. Cases like this are going to continue to affirm that, but the Constitution is there to protect your right to believe and your right to speak and your right to live authentically.
Continue to do what you do and live with conviction and not just not be afraid, huh?
That's my hope.
All right. I love it, Kate. Thanks so much for weighing in and telling us what you know, and thank you for representing Steve and his family, and loved having you on. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a great day. We'll take a short break and be right back. Good morning. It's 28 minutes after the hour. We should all get together and have a big group hug right now. Wouldn't that be nice? Just to get our day started. Here's something a listener, Carrie G., I asked earlier if anyone was having a birthday or an anniversary. She wrote in and said, yeah, hey, it's my birthday. And she also wanted to say, very happy birthday to all the other June 8thers as well. So she's already caring about other people. See, there's the group hug. All right, awesome. We're going to take a little break. And then after the news, Kim Cotola, she's going to be with us in just a minute.
Everyone to be saved. Welcome to Reaching Your World. This is Luis Palau. The last words of the Apostle Peter in his second letter are worth considering. It's interesting to note what is uppermost on his mind. First is his strong desire that we keep taking God at his word, that we cling to it, believe what he has said, and not be carried away by false teaching. Second, Peter wants us to live holy lives, keeping our eyes on eternity, not on what is temporal and soon to fade away. Third, Peter reminds us that God is patient and not wanting anyone to perish. Instead, he wants everyone to come to repentance. This concept, that God is patient, eager to lead people to repentance, isn't anything new or original with Peter. You find the same thing in Paul's writings, in the Gospels, and in the Old Testament. First and foremost, on God's heart and mind, is his desire to reconcile individuals to himself. Someday our bodies will fall apart.
No amount of vitamins or exercise or medicine or surgery or replacement parts can prevent that from happening. But our souls and spirits and new resurrected bodies will live on forever. The question is whether it'll be in God's presence. That's why the Bible says repeatedly that God doesn't want anyone to perish, that is, to die forever. So pray with confidence, no matter how long it takes, for the salvation of your loved ones and friends. This is Luis Palau.
Reach your world today by introducing someone to Jesus Christ. Not sure how to start? To find some help, go to our website, palau.org, and click on Share Your Faith. You'll find articles by Luis and Andrew Palau, which will inspire you. The web address again is palau.org. Thanks for joining us today for Reaching Your World with Luis Palau.
We have allowed the corruption of the meaning of words to such a point we're now suffering the result. This is Jim Garlow. Corporations do not fire employees. They restructure themselves. Politicians don't lie. Rather, he or she misspoke. Adultery has become now fallen out of love. Homosexual relationships are now alternate lifestyles. Misleading translations, word tricks, numb a culture, creating a false sense of unity and peace. And words that do not lend themselves readily to translation are edited out of usage altogether. Consider sin, or grace, or repentance, or judgment. It makes one wonder if these concepts are appropriate for our present time, a time that perverts the true meaning of words. Yet in this world, where nothing seems to matter, we stand against the culture with words. In a world of lost meaning, we offer hope, forgiveness, and purpose. Just words? No. Words that matter. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Good morning, Bill Arnold here, 25 minutes until the top of the hour. I did not speak to Kim Cattola last week, and how did it affect me? Well, I wandered around last week muttering to myself more than usual, but she is back this week. Kim, hi.
Come on, mutter to me, Bill.
Let the muttering begin. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you today?
I'm great, actually. We're looking at an unbelievably hot weekend, which I can only imagine in Atlanta, it's going to be even hotter.
The weather here is Atlanta hot. There's a reason it's called Hotlanta.
Exactly.
Yeah, it just, you know, and we get this weird yellow pollen early in the spring. So there's, I figure, Bill, there's about a week you can keep the windows open. It's kind of like Minnesota in reverse.
Yeah, no kidding.
But well, it's good.
Let's talk about the Planned Parenthood's Iowa experience.
You know, people are saying that what is happening there shows that they do not need taxpayer funding, first of all, as an organization, even to stay alive. But they certainly don't need it in a context of where taxpayer dollars should be going based on what organizations are doing. Their report shows, Bill, that they voluntarily closed half of their locations of Planned Parenthood of the Heartland between 2012 and 2015. It was a big organization statewide, I think almost 40 locations. So they voluntarily closed about half, yet their funding increased during that same time period by 16%. Well, and how does that happen? Because at the same time, they reduced their non-abortion services to the point where they were seeing almost 40% fewer clients. Meanwhile, their abortion business grew from 9% to 11% during the same period. So, I mean, Washington Examiner has a great breakdown of this written by Deanna Wallace of Americans United for Life. And she goes on to say and point out that, you know, what this works out to is about five clients a week that would be needing a provider if those remaining Planned Parenthood locations lost their government funding and were somehow to close, which doesn't seem likely because they're not fully government funded.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about five clients a week or a month. It's a small amount.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are, you know, these community health organizations that outnumber Planned Parenthood in every state. I think in Iowa, it's something like 20 to 1 that could easily take up the slack and provide all of those non-abortion related health care services, but not also be doing abortions as part of their business. And so I think it's a great illustration and one really worth looking into if you're trying to just, you know, determine in your heart, well, gee, I've heard Planned Parenthood does great things for women. Aren't they about, you know, birth control and reproductive health care and et cetera, et cetera? I don't think they should lose their funding. You should read this article because I think it's very illuminating, and it shows how the moral issue there is an important one. And, you know, our taxpayers, our money as taxpayers represents what we are really willing to do and really willing to stand for. And if that includes abortion, many people have said, no, I will not participate in that. And it's really important for us to know the facts about what we're saying no to. So we've got that linked at cradlemyheart.org this morning for our five fast facts column, and worth looking into. It's a great analysis of it.
Well, Planned Parenthood would have you believe otherwise, wouldn't they? That.
Yeah, I mean, they, again, they want us to believe that they're doing all of these health care services. And in Iowa, for example, Bill, breast exams, I think, went down 69% with the compression of their business. So that's one thing that they do. They don't do mammograms, as we've learned, and that's been exposed over and over again. They do not do mammograms. They refer for that. So, but they do breast exams, and they train women to do breast self-exams. But even that area of service was reduced by 69%. They are an abortion business. Mm. It's the heart and soul of what they do. And we saw this back in March when President Trump said, look, I can resolve this. Why don't you just stop doing abortions and we'll fully fund you today? And they, of course, said, well, no, the abortion is central to what we do. Well, which is it? Is it 3% of your business or is it what you're all about?
Yeah, it seems like it's what they're all about.
Doesn't it, though?
It really does. This 3%, I don't know why they keep bringing this number up, but it does not seem like 3%.
Well, and, you know, Bill, the point is not to single out Planned Parenthood, because although they're America's largest abortion provider, doing one-third of the 1 million procedures that happen every year, there are lots and lots of independent providers. And more we're seeing that, you know, women are going to the medical abortion, which is taking pills rather than going to a location for a surgical procedure.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to do is we have to help people understand that Planned Parenthood is the spokesperson for the abortion rights movement. They're the face of it. And their deception and the ways that they try to over and over and over again deny the humanity of the unborn make them, you know, I guess a target for people who are against abortion. As well, they should be, but they're not. If they were to be defunded tomorrow, the problem doesn't go away. We still need to persuade hearts and minds of the full humanity of children, and that women need help and support when they're pregnant, and not abortion.
Mm-hmm. Kim, we've had a discussion this week about this Maddie Runkles, this girl, this high school senior, who was denied walking on her graduation ceremony because she attends a Christian high school. She broke her pledge, admitted to it, and she became pregnant. And this is an interesting ongoing discussion. What do you have as far as an update on what's going on with her?
You know, it is interesting, isn't it? Because it's competing values,
yeah.
Right? So she admitted to immorality, but then she did the right thing in choosing life and not choosing to have an abortion. So which do you recognize and which do you censure? Right. So, well, the latest with Maddie's case, and this is unfolding in Hagerstown, Maryland at Heritage Christian Academy. The latest is that Students for Life, which took her story public when her dad went to them for help and support when the school refused to, you know, act on Maddie's behalf, as he asked them to change their decision. Her dad is involved with the administration of the school and had recused himself from the decision making about what was going to happen. But when they came up with their answer that she was to lose her place in student government and not be able to walk at graduation, dad said, well, there must be some other answer, and went to Students for Life. And now it's become a national news story. And, you know, it illustrates a problem that will never see the light of day in the lives of many students. You know, women may not even tell their parents. They just so fear for their future and the loss of their education and the loss of a scholarship, et cetera, that they just will go and have that abortion. Christian women will feel cornered and desperate by their circumstances and by, you know, having broken that rule. But one of the things, Students for Life gave Maddie a graduation ceremony over the weekend, and about 100 people attended. They had 7,000 messages of support. I was really pleased to see that they gave her a scholarship so that she'll have $16,000 in her college fund because she's a straight-A student. She plans to continue her education. And one of the things that they did, Bill, is they really emphasized their Pregnant on Campus movement. And this is something that Students for Life has established all over the country. And we've dealt with this issue on our long-form show on Cradle My Heart Radio. Sarah Foster, Feminists for Life, also helps, their organization also helps pregnant students. And she noted that there are no resources for pregnant students on the Ivy League campuses. Zero.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, really? Do we really think that in the female population where it's like it's majority female students now on, you know, college campuses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we really think none of them are turning up pregnant? So what is the message there? Well, you shouldn't be pregnant. And if you are, it's your problem.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't do this to other life issues of students.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm very encouraged that they're getting Maddie the help that she needs. She's looking forward to having her baby in the fall. And I think it's a good reflection for the rest of us as to how to apply grace and truth. Yes, the truth is that there was immoral behavior. But we need to model grace in the aftermath as to what to do now. You know, you can't keep punishing someone who's already repented of that immorality. That mm-hmm. is not a, you can, but that's not a godly Christ-like answer to it.
And it's not the baby's fault, is it?
Amen.
Yeah.
The children are innocent
yeah.
always. They're and a gift.
Kim, we had Kristen Swanson on from Students for Life this week. And I had kind of a burning question. I didn't get to ask her, but I will ask you that question when we come back. It's 15 minutes until the top of the hour. I'm talking to Kim Cotola from Cradle My Heart Radio. We'll be back in just a minute. Good morning. It's 12 minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here talking to Kim Cotola from Cradle My Heart Radio. And we're talking about this high school senior named Maddie Runkles who graduated just over the weekend. She was not allowed to walk with her graduation class. They did have a private ceremony for her. And the Students for Life, I think, sponsored it. And right before the break, Kim, I said Kristen Swanson, when it's really Kristen Hawkins. So there's my correction. But she was participating in that. She actually spoke at the ceremony. We had her on the program this week. And the question I wanted to ask her is, what about the young man that participated in this pregnancy? Was he from that school, and was he allowed to walk?
The early reports that I read in the New York Times said that he was not a student at that school.
Ah, okay.
And as far as I know, Maddie has not revealed his identity. So we can be praying for this young man.
No kidding.
Because can you imagine being him? Well,
yeah.
This story has been unfolding in the national
yeah.
spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's a feminist myth that abortion is not a man's, that men can't even have an opinion or express an opinion, you know, but that it's a strictly a women's issue and a woman's right, because we know that's ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
Every pregnancy requires two people, and we would... If men were to take that up in the case of wanted pregnancies and in the case of married pregnancies and say, this is nothing to do with me. This is a woman's issue. This is her deal, right?
Right.
We would run these men out of town on a rail. In fact, what we would do is we would bring the force of the government on them to pay for child support of their children.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we actually do.
Right.
So it's a very strange pass that we've come to as a culture where we can't really decide, you know, if we need to pressure men to step up and meet their responsibilities or if we need to strip them of any right and responsibility in the lives of their unborn children. So, yeah, we don't know about the father of this child. But I know that young men who suffer after abortion, Bill, carry that wound with them the rest of their lives, just as women do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because women experience the pregnancy physically, I think there's a very different process that happens. But it almost makes it more difficult for men to access their feelings since they're once removed and they don't have any physical experience of touching a baby, seeing a baby, you know, being involved with the reality of it on the physical level. They just have questions. They have self-recrimination. They have doubts, you know, and they have self-condemnation. They go through all of these things, and it's very difficult to hold your head up as a man, from what I hear from men. Very difficult to hold your head up as a man, knowing that you did not speak up for the life of your own child. And it's something I don't want any man to ever have to go through. And I do pray for this young man in this situation. And what an opportunity it would be for him to step forward and to identify himself and to say that he is supporting this pregnancy in some way, whether or not they get married and choose to parent together. I think that's an incredible opportunity for him to grow and mature in a moment that he could choose to do otherwise.
Yeah. Kim, worldwide, over 90% of children with Down syndrome will be aborted in utero. And here in the U.S., I think their rate is closer to about 40%. And the current beautiful Miss Minnesota has Down syndrome.
Well, she's the first ever Miss Minnesota USA contestant.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how she does. She actually holds a title right now. Her name is Michaela Holmgren, and she holds a title Miss Minnesota Amazing, which is a category of beauty pageant for contestants with special needs. But she had a vision of going mainstream. And she said, what do you think, Mom? I guess she got a mailing about it or something. And and Mom said, all right, well, Mom, you know, was a little hesitant. And Michaela was so insistent that they're going for it. And so a coach stepped up, and the coach is trying to get all of the gowns and accoutrement donated for her. But she's already made history, you know, as the first contestant. And there's a beautiful story about her in the Pioneer Press this week. Because she's a really, really remarkable young woman. Bethel University Inclusive Learning and Development Program is a 2-year post-high school certificate program that Bethel has for students with special needs. And so she's looking to graduate in 2018, and she's an artist, Bill. She wants to do dog photography, but mm-hmm. she also, you know, participates in ballet and plays golf and yoga and weightlifting. And gosh, she's just a whole human being who happens to have, you know, an extra chromosome.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that, you know, as you say, children with Down syndrome are targeted for abortion because of, wow, such outdated stereotypes, you know, that 50 years ago, they were not mainstreamed. They were not seen as capable. They were not developed. They were not given the chance to reach any sort of potential. And all of that has changed. We're seeing Down syndrome models. We're seeing Down syndrome athletes. We're seeing Down syndrome actors. We're seeing people with Down syndrome marrying and having, you know, lives and functioning fully as human beings. And what I love about this is that I hope her story can provide encouragement to one family that's facing a diagnosis of Down syndrome, because often medical personnel will advise abortion. You know, often that testing is the pretext for, well, you know, here's your chance to terminate this pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even pressure put on couples to do that. But, you know, Michaela shows that having a disability shouldn't be a death sentence. And in fact, it's made her truly special and truly a gift to the world.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a really, really sweet story.
All right, Kim, we only have about a minute left, and I think I timed it this way because I don't want to talk about this for too long because it's too difficult. But there have been some new undercover videos that have surfaced on some of the more horrific revelations on the abortion practices.
Yeah, the Center for Medical Progress is not letting up. There are lawsuits, which are, it's interesting to me that, you know, they're exposing illegal behavior, but they're being targeted for going undercover. That's an interesting state of affairs for me. But they were censored. The videos were taken off of YouTube. You can find them on Facebook, and we've got a link at cradlemyheart.org. But, yep, these were taken not at Planned Parenthood facilities, but at the National Abortion Federation's annual convention. And so you hear from the horse's mouth what these abortion providers are actually doing in the lives of these children. And it violates every ethic of obstetrics, Bill, that says every obstetrician has two patients, mother and child.
Mm-hmm.
And the horror just begins there. And I urge you to seek it out. I urge you to not, you know, lose patience with this story, because this story is very far from over. And the people who have been fighting for 2 or 3 years now to bring it to the forefront need our support and at least our attention on the story.
Mm-hmm. Kim, thank you for talking about these often difficult subjects, always difficult subjects, with grace and eloquence.
Thank you, Bill. It's good to talk with you today.
Likewise. I will talk to you next week. It's 4 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be back in just a minute with some news, and then we're going to talk to Nap Nazworth. How cool is that name? Good morning. It's a couple minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here with you. I've been quoting from the book of Habakkuk today. Here's another verse from chapter 3, verse 19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. So if you are treading on the heights today, way to go. Sovereign Lord is your strength. We have a great second hour coming up. Nap Nazworth is going to be our next guest, and we're going to talk about with him.
About all the news that is news, I think.
Well, I know, but where is he from again?
He's from the Christian Post.
The Christian Post. That's
yeah,
what
he's one of their editors over there.
Yes,
so a guy in the know.
Yes, and a Dr. Nap Nazworth. I just think that's a cool name. I want that name. We'll be back in just a minute.
Thank you for listening to this conversation from Faith Radio Mornings. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Faith Radio Mornings. Also, take a moment to subscribe to this podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player and never miss a show.